Hey, we're going to continue our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and especially the gift of tongues. And we spent a considerable amount of time showing the true purpose of tongues, mainly as a sign to the unbelieving Jews. And I think we're in a better position to kind of deal with some of the errors that exist on this subject. Now, some people have taught that tongues were given to assist in the preaching of the gospel. The gospel needs no assistance. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God by faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. All we need to do is preach the gospel. And God is the one that empowers it. He's the one that brings the sinner to life in the new birth and enables them at that very moment when they've been brought from death to life to believe that Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose again. He gives them the gifts of repentance and faith, which constitute the human side, which is conversion. And I believe with all my heart that we don't need anything to assist God. Now, tongues were given as a sign. They did validate the work that God, and authenticate what God was doing, but we don't need tongues in assistance to preach the gospel. In fact, there's no evidence of that in the New Testament. Tongues as a sign vindicated the gospel, but never was used to help spread the gospel. Men like Paul, who were multilingual, seem to have had no trouble in communication throughout the Roman Empire. Even in Acts chapter 2, there's no evidence that the gift of tongues there acted other than a sign. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 6 through 12, the foreign Jews were amazed by the gift of tongues. These people were at least bilingual. The tongues were not given so that they could understand the gospel, but rather that they might believe the gospel. And many of those converted stayed in the Jerusalem church, yet communication was never a problem. Now, another false concept is the modern teaching that tongues are for the private edification of the user. And this, of course, contradicts the scriptural teaching on the purpose of tongues. And also the truth that gifts, as they are stated in, especially in Romans and in 1 Corinthians, they are always used for the edification of the body as a whole, the local church as a whole. That was what the gifts were to do, edify the body, not individual believers. It's also hard to believe that God would withhold from many Christians a means of spiritual growth. Because let's face it, are you trying to tell me that from the first century until the early 1900s that the gift of tongues was never employed for spiritual growth or personal edification, if indeed it was a continuing gift? Why was it gone for all those centuries and then supposedly brought back? It's not a scriptural teaching that tongues are for today or that they bolster spiritual growth. Some of the godliest people you'll ever meet never spoke in an unknown tongue. in a language that they didn't know or understand prior. In fact, I'd put a lot of people that love the Lord through the ages up against the modern day charismatic preachers that are promoting all this nonsense. There's no record of tongues being used privately in the New Testament. It's always in a church setting or in a setting where there's a group of people. Now let's look at some scriptures tonight to teach that tongues, that they teach, and this is a real point of emphasis. The charismatics believe that it should be used in prayer and in private worship. Now, let's go first of all, some of these things I've already alluded to, but we'll do this for sake of a reinforcement tonight. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now this verse is not describing prayer. The reason a man speaking in an uninterpreted tongue is speaking unto God is because nobody understands. No men understand him. Paul is not in any way discussing private prayer, but rather the error of using uninterpreted tongues in a church service. If I were to use Spanish in an English-speaking church, only God would understand me, and the church would not be helped. I can't say that I don't know any Spanish. When I went down to help Brother Kraft in a meeting, it's been several years ago now, by the end of that week, I was singing in Spanish. It's amazing to me how much of a language you can pick up just by being immersed in that culture, in among the people where they're always speaking the language. It didn't rub off real good. I mean, by the time I got back home, I couldn't speak any Spanish. But the point I'm making is, he's not talking about prayer here. He's talking about tongues that could not be interpreted by men. That's why nobody understands that. Now, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Paul's talking about the superiority of prophecy over tongues in a public church service. He that prophesies builds up the church, while he that speaks in tongues builds up himself. There's no mention of any act of private devotion here. In fact, he's telling you the superiority. The more important thing is somebody prophesying rather than just speaking in a tongue to himself that nobody can understand. If an Englishman testifies in a Russian church, his own heart may be blessed, but the church won't be profited. If I were to go to, I've got a book that I wrote, Outlines of Systematic Theology, and another one, Elementary Eschatology, in Romanian. They translated it into Romanian. Okay? And Brother Raul in Yere sent me copies. And I showed them to the kids when we were going in our homeschool. We're going through Europe right now, and we talked about Romania. So I thought, hey, I got some books that I wrote in Romanian. They looked at me. I brought it out, and the only words that I knew were Tom Ross. They were on the front. And I didn't understand any other words, although as I recalled the title of my in the table of contents, I could start making out what words were. But it's a whole different setup of a language. And so if I were to come tonight, would have came tonight and said, you know what, I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I'm going to go ahead and preach out of the Romanian, the book that I wrote outlines the systematic theology. Tonight we're going to consider the attributes of God. And then I start talking in Romanian. What are you going to do? Somebody's going to say, are you nuts? None of us understand Romanian. So, this principle was true in the exercise of tongues. And in verses 4 and 5, Paul is discussing a situation where the tongue speaker could interpret his own words. The individual who spoke in a tongue which he did not understand could not even be blessed himself unless someone interpreted. Okay, he says there in verse 5, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Again, do you see the emphasis here? The emphasis is on edifying the church. The body as a whole. This is not doesn't have anything to do with a person's personal devotion or spirituality. And that's they exalt that in the charismatic movement. Somebody might go off, get all lathered up and start, you talking about nobody, and I tell you too, and I mean really get to going on it. And everybody thinks, wow, they're so spiritual. And all they did was say, you tie my bow tie, I'll tie your shoe. They did that real fast, several times. And the point is this. Now, I think there are people that are sincere. They think they have the gift of tongues. But I don't think it's of the Lord. If you can't make any sense out of it, if there's no interpretation, it doesn't come from God. Just that real. Now, verses 14 and 15. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. How could that be profitable? If you don't even know what you're praying, and you don't understand it, he said, it's unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Paul is here speaking about he's speaking about praying in an unknown tongue, but only to rebuke the practice. Prayer is to be conducted with the understanding. And that would also forbid the idea of praying in a tongue that one does not understand. The Greek word batalogio, that may have a little bit of a Buffalo Creek pronunciation on there, but it's translated to use vain repetitions in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, and it means to babble unthinkingly. Nobody's ever to pray in that manner. You're not glorifying God if you don't even know what you're saying. Alright? Now, verse 27 and 28. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, Paul is not here commending the practice of private tongue speaking. His purpose is to forbid the use of uninterpreted tongues in the church. These precepts were used by men of God in former days to rebuke the Roman Catholic practice of conducting religious worship in Latin. Think about how many people went to the Roman Mass and the priest got up and rather than speak in the people's common language, he spoke in Latin. And they didn't understand what he was saying. Men may pray in any language they understand in private, but they're not to pray in a language they don't understand anywhere. In public, they're either to speak in a language understood by the church, or else their words are to be interpreted. There's a regulation for when they did speak in tongues. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they didn't speak in tongues. I believe with all my heart, especially in Corinth, where you had an influx of all kinds of people and languages, that they had people coming in and out, and they were able, on the spot, to speak in a different language, and someone was able to interpret it for those individuals. It was remarkable. It was powerful. But that's not going on today. Because whether they be tongues, they shall cease. 1 Corinthians 13. The charismatic concept of tongues as a private devotional aid is contrary to everything that the Bible teaches about tongues. It simply is not scriptural. Now, the regulation of tongues. The disorders that occurred at Corinth caused Paul to lay down some rules. And these regulations must be followed by everybody who claims to be spiritual. Look what he says in verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. When I give you these regulations on how you're to use tongues and what they're really for, if you're spiritual, you're going to receive it, is what he's saying. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now, number one, first regulation, everything must be done in an orderly manner. Verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject unto the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, I rarely tell this story. When I was a kid, I didn't have my license yet, but a girl that was older than me asked me out, and she had a car. So anyway, I went out with this girl, and she took me to church, and it was a Pentecostal church. Now, I didn't go to church much. I'd never in my life been to a Pentecostal church, okay? And it was like an evening, a Sunday evening or a Wednesday night service. I can't remember what it was. But all of a sudden, she said, get down in the pew. I said, what? And I noticed everybody was getting down in the pew. So I hunkered down in the pew and people started running. And some people get up and start running. And I thought, wow. And then people started talking in, it just sounded like gibberish to me. And then there were women dancing. This was in a Pentecostal church. Man, we got out of there, and I told that girl, I said, this is the last date me and you's going on. I wasn't too much for church to start with, but that just put the icing on the cake. There was no order. It was insanity. And a lot of that stuff goes on in Pentecostal churches. It gets really wild in some places. Now, so that's number one. Everything must be done in an orderly manner. I think there should be, I realize that I probably am too sarcastic sometimes. I don't try to make things funny. It's just, I don't know. Just sometimes maybe I'm not as reverent as I should be. But I do think when we come to the house of God, we should come here to worship. And it should be done in an orderly manner. Now sure, like last Wednesday night, when I know it just shocked Joe when I said, let's sing some more songs. It was like, we're breaking the Wednesday night tradition. I hope the electric don't go out. But I like doing that every once in a while, just changing things up. Even the way we changed up the way we do Wednesday night now. Try to focus more at the beginning of the service on prayer. Because it's our prayer meeting night. But I do believe that our services should have some order to them. I believe preaching ought to have some order to it. That every sermon ought to be like a journey you're taking. You start at point A, and you want to take people to point B, and to a conclusion. All right, now, tongues are not to be sought after. Look what it says in verse 18. Let's see, wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. I was looking at it wrong. 1 Corinthians 12:18. No, that ain't the one I wanted. Let's see if it's 14:18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. I got a mistake in my notes. We'll just forget about that one for now. And come back to it. Well, I just did that. Oh, another one. Tongues have to be interpreted. We read that, verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and not to God. If what you're saying can't be understood and interpreted, it's not of the Lord. Mark it down. Here's a good one. Only one at a time is supposed to speak. I don't know if you've ever watched a Jimmy Swaggart show before. My dad sometimes will watch Jimmy Swaggart. I don't know why, but he'll watch Jimmy Swaggart. And man, they could start talking in tongues, and they might just be pinging all over the auditorium. That's not what the Bible says. One at a time. Verse 27 and verse 30. And only three people may speak in tongues in any one service. Verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and one interpret. So have you ever seen a Pentecostal service where they got a guy set up as the guy that is enforcing the regulations? Alright? Okay. Jim, you spoke in tongues. Al spoke in tongues. John spoke. No more! That's all. That's all we can have tonight. And we better make sure that we know exactly. That you never see that. Now here's the humdinger. You know, most Baptists will never even quote this verse. They won't read this verse. They're scared to death that some feminist is going to bomb their house. I'm not scared. Not at all. Because it's in the Bible. Look what it says in verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. I believe that. I've practiced that. And I've only pastored two churches. I've only been a member of three Baptist churches. The one I was saved in, the mission work that I started and that was organized out of Wilmington Baptist, and Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. All three of those churches have believed these verses. Now I'm telling you, we're living in a day and age where these verses are being twisted up or thrown out altogether. But do you realize if you really believe, if you just read what the Bible says, this should completely annul every woman preacher. There's nowhere in the Bible that you have a woman preacher or pastor. It's not in the New Testament. So women aren't supposed to be speaking in tongues. Now, next week, we're going to get on to the ceasing of tongues and how do we evaluate this today. And guess what? Next week is our last lesson on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what series we're going to do after this, but it will be something. And I can't wait until I figure out what the Lord wants me to preach on. All right.
Let's be dismissed.